Is the Holy Spirit already here, or is it still to come? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas, and this is Probe, the dialogical consideration of various doctrinal and biblical themes, sponsored and produced by members of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to those of you who are listening. I have two conversation partners today, Dr. Carl Kosard, a professor of New Testament, and Dr. Bruce Johansson, also a professor of New Testament. So if we talk about New Testament things, we should be all right here today, gentlemen. So
nice to be with you, Dave.
The lesson today raises the question about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In particular, it looks at Jesus' words in John 14:16, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, I'm intrigued by this promise, first of all, because of its setting. And I don't think we can ever come to those chapters in John, like 13 to 17 or thereabouts, where, you know, I don't find it possible to read those without being overtaken by a certain sense of awe. Because Jesus is here with his disciples, and it is their last time together, that after this the disciples will never again see their Savior with an unbroken body. They don't really know that he's leaving. And you know, I think there's a certain ethos about this. It's actually a farewell occasion, but the disciples don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows it, but the disciples don't know it. And as is so often the case with farewells, significant farewells, is that the one who is about to leave has in mind the most important things. You know, the tragedy is the disciples don't have a clue, but Jesus is trying in this setting to convey to them some of the great truths that they will need to sustain mm-hmm. them after he's gone. And he knows that they will figure out after he's gone, they will remember some of these things and it'll come back to mind. And, you know, central to this dialogue is this discussion about the Holy Spirit, that I will pray to the Father and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to know, well, first of all, this is not the first place in the Bible that we read of a promise of the Holy Spirit, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. Look at Ezekiel.
Ezekiel
36.
Say more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, I'll be part of that. But it says, I will put my Spirit within you. So we have this promise of this internal working of the Spirit. Also the book of Joel as well promises the Spirit in the latter days.
Yeah, and this, of course, is way before Jesus' promise was made.
Mm-hmm.
See? Mm-hmm. So are there other places where the Spirit is promised? Well, I think of one. John the Baptist announces this.
Oh yes, he will baptize you with.
That as he sees Jesus, the imminence of Jesus' ministry, he begins to announce again the coming of the Holy Spirit. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Any others? Well, Jesus told of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But there are indications that said that its time has not yet come.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so the point I'm driving at is we have the situation in the Bible where it seems like the Holy Spirit is promised, and yet in a way...
It's hard to hear.
It's already there, but in another way, it's still to come.
Yes.
What are we to make of all of that?
I'm going to bring in some Old Testament stuff.
That's fine.
Isaiah 42 is a text that Jesus quotes in the synagogue, for one thing. Mm-hmm. But if you read Matthew 3, it's behind the text where John the Baptist doesn't want to baptize mm-hmm. Jesus.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at that passage, there are four things that connect it. You have, he's the Son, this is my beloved Son. And in Isaiah, in the Greek Septuagint, mm-hmm. you have Pais, servant, Son.
Mm-hmm.
Righteous, coming to fulfill righteousness, bring righteousness and justice. The Spirit will be upon him. There is a promise there that when that person comes, the Spirit will be upon him. And I think this whole thing of promised Spirit is not simply in relationship to the to the church given by Jesus, but it goes further back than that. It's tied up with his whole mission and ministry and messiahship.
Very powerful. Mm-hmm.
The Messiah brings the Spirit in a very powerful way.
So do you think there is something to this idea that the Spirit is in some way already here, but in another way
yes.
it's promised?
Yes.
Well, what do we make of that?
Well, I mean, we see that, I think, very clearly at the end of Luke's Gospel, right? I mean, Jesus, the resurrection, he wants them, you know, to wait until they receive the Spirit. But in a sense, they already have because they've been led by the Spirit. So it seems to be that through what Christ accomplished for us in his life, death, and resurrection, that he's ushered in maybe a fuller sense, maybe more powerful sense than before known.
You know, I was thinking about this before coming to our discussion, and it's always bothered me that somehow the Spirit is going to be given in a greater measure.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Well, it's not fair. What about all the people who were there before?
Yes.
And yet, when you think about it, let me throw this idea in. We have a greater revelation in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a greater knowledge. There's a greater assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that frees the Spirit to work in a way that it didn't before because that knowledge was not there.
But isn't there also something about the completion of Jesus' ministry?
Yes.
You know, the Bible indicates at several places that prior to the coming of Jesus, that people lived in hope. But their hope was based on a promise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, subsequent to the especially the death and resurrection of Jesus, mm-hmm. people have hope, but it's not just based on a promise. It's now based on a historical fact. Does that have anything to do with the coming of the Spirit? See, and it intrigues me that Pentecost does not take place until after these events have taken place. See? And so, you know, you begin to wonder if Jesus' promise is. You know, is it suggesting to us that there is an age or an era that is more the domain of the Holy Spirit than another one?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to justify that? Don't just tell me yes.
If you read the book of Acts,
yes.
there are commentators who have suggested it shouldn't be called Acts of the Apostles.
Yes.
It should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Ah, that's interesting.
Because it is the Spirit that is the prime mover
mm-hmm.
all the way through there.
And you begin to see now the kingdom expanding almost exponentially, whereas before it expanded by addition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we see the same thing even with you know Jesus, for example, because in the Old Testament, you know, there's forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
But in the truest sense, forgiveness is because of what's going to take place in the future. Mm-hmm. So we get this whole pattern of it's now, but it's not yet, but it's now.
Yeah.
And with the Spirit as well.
And wouldn't this also suggest that there are some ages or some events where the Holy Spirit is more prominent or more active because the hour is propitious?
Mm.
You know, that there may be, you know, I happen to think that there are, that the gospel and the business of the kingdom is affected by, for example, sociological issues. I don't see how we can deny that the gospel finds an enormous reception in some circumstances, but in others it runs into very strong resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself wondering if the coming of the Spirit is not more apparent in propitious circumstances than others. But
I think that it's the Old Testament certainly has the Holy Spirit as part of God's way of communicating with human beings.
Yeah.
But if you don't have somebody who wants to communicate, then what do you do? I think that dynamic goes all the way through. And so you see it blossom when there's open, people are willing to listen and to accept and to enter into a relationship with God, and then people who shut him out.
But this promising of the Spirit, though, doesn't it all also set up in the minds of many Christians the expectation that at some point the Holy Spirit is going to break out, as
yes.
it were?
See? Yes.
Eschatologically.
It's very much an eschatological concept.
Yeah. So that whatever Jesus promised, and actually what we saw, for example, at Pentecost, is something that is going to be replicated on a greater scale.
Yes. I think there's two things going on. I have to be careful that I don't make the Holy Spirit depend its manifestation dependent solely on human response.
Yeah.
But if you tie it to covenant, as you did with Ezekiel, Carl, at the beginning here, God's covenant goes through even though people don't accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His covenant faithfulness will go through, and that gets fuller expression in the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, the new covenant.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to miss the fact that Jesus also referred here to the Holy Spirit as a comforter.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that?
It's powerful because you think, you know, when Jesus says, you know, it's to your advantage that I go away.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how is that to my advantage? Because he was just here. But
in fact, that's an astonishing thought, Carl, because you're exactly right. This text seems to say quite overtly that it's the disciples are better off if Jesus leaves.
Yeah.
And I you know, where does that leave us? See? That, I mean, in a pretty good setting, I would say.
Yes, and if you think about it, too, I mean, as one individual, I mean, access is very difficult. I mean, you imagine, you know, the President of the United States, how difficult access is to him. But through the Holy Spirit, Christ is present in a far greater way.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard for us because for our little minds to wrap around that.
Yeah.
But I think you see that throughout the history of the church, what the Spirit has done.
Yes. I'm going to just jump in on parakletos, which is the word translated comforter.
Okay.
We like to get wrapped up in that cotton, and that's right. He is absolutely the comforter, and the disciples needed it at that time because they were in for some heavy
heresies.
But the word can also be translated exhorter.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Parakalo means to comfort, to exhort,
beseech,
to urge,
to
beseech. So there's also that pressing part of the Holy Spirit.
But certainly we get the sense here that with Jesus leaving, he is leaving an adequate resource for the disciples.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is so comforting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That whatever they come up against or whatever they face, that the Spirit is now with them in a sufficient sense, but at some point in a very grand sense.
Yeah.
And I think actually that in the week to come or so that there's going to be some specific discussion about the eschatological bursting forth of the Holy Spirit, for example, as is spoken of by the prophet Joel.
Yeah.
I find myself wondering if this is the age of the Holy Spirit more than a previous age. What we as human beings might do to aid and abet the functioning of the Spirit. And I don't know that we can answer that question per se. But if this is, in particular, the age of the Holy Spirit, perhaps it's more incumbent on believers to be paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what you said, Bruce, that I don't think we can create some kind of mechanistic link between the Holy Spirit's activity and human activity.
Right. No.
There is a link, but it's not ironclad. So. Well, thank you very much. This is an intriguing idea that the Holy Spirit is already here, but that it will come, and that actually at Pentecost we see an initial fulfillment of Jesus' promise. And I think that probably next week we'll be talking about the ultimate fulfillment of that. So many thanks to you for your participation here today. Thanks to Susan Michaels, our program engineer. And my thanks to you for listening. For Probe, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.